Yes, little one, everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of their music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy their wonderful sound. And now, it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. Yes, I'd like to thank our band, Newborn, for all the music and your sponsorship. We really do appreciate it. I do advise that if you like what you're hearing, if you like the kind of music, you can go to newbornband.com. That's newbornband.com. And you can get all the different music that they put out. This is a very innovative band that is definitely rising. If you haven't heard about them, well, get ready, because very, very soon you will. And now that you're relaxed and listen to wonderful music, we have a very special guest today joining us. His name is Ben Berlin, and he is unique in so many different ways. But let me tell you a little bit about his background. He not only earned his JD, and if you don't know what that is, that means he's an attorney. He also has MS from Fordham, and he has a BA from Shiver University. He is been through a lot of education, a lot of experience, and he's learned somehow to do things differently than most people, because if there is one dream that most people have, is to travel and to visit places either all over the world or at least all over the United States. Ben has been able to do that. He has been able to create the space in his life where he took his wife and his kids on a trip around the United States and really covered 12,000 miles. That's back and forth across the United States at least three times, because from end to end, it's about 3,200 miles. So that's a trip, I think it's a dream trip of a lifetime. And most people that do get to take it, they get to take it after they retire, after all their kids are married. But really, it's something you want to do with your wife and kids. So I'm really, really grateful to have Ben Berlin on the show today. And I'd like to welcome you, Ben, and thank you so much for joining us here on Tippy Talk.
Thank you for having me, Tippy. I'm really excited to be here.
It's totally an honor, and it's really amazing how, and I'm not sure what it is, how some people get to think of something they want to do and actually do it. And let me lower the band a little bit, because it's kind of getting in my way of thinking. So let me get him out. For anybody that's listening, you want to hear more, you can go to newbornband.com and listen to them, because it's time now to listen to Ben Berlin and his fascinating story of a trip that he took with his wife and kids. But even more than that, there is things behind the scene going on that most people wish they could actually tap into that, so we might discover a few secrets. So stay tuned as we visit a few places that Ben Berlin visited and a few places behind the scene. So you decided on one fine day that it was time for you and your family to take a road trip. Is that what happened?
Yeah, more or less. We had decided that the summer was coming. We were about a year ago at this point, and instead of making plans to send our kids to camp and have them be with the regular crowd, we decided to give them an experience that was different and unique. And we took out maps and Google, and we began to plan out a summer of traveling across the United States, and we were able to visit 26 states in this trip, with making stops in each state and really trying to get a little bit of a flavor of experiences in each state with our children, who at the time when we left were 8, 9, and 10.
Wow. So I think it was probably a summer they will never forget. For sure it's a summer you will never forget. But it's also, you think even your 8-year-old will remember this trip as much as you would?
I hope so. And it's interesting to see now when they have conversations and they're talking about completely unrelated things to other people, and they'll bring up some information that they picked up on the trip. Like, they'll bring up, for instance, our daughter was having a conversation in school with her friends about bridges. And they were looking up different kinds of bridges and the construction of bridges. And she talked just extemporaneously about a bridge that has a name, a personality, and that bridge is Bob. Now, there's a bridge that is a pedestrian bridge built between Nebraska and Idaho. Nebraska and Iowa, and it is named for Bob Kerry, who was the senator from Nebraska, and the entire area is a revitalization of the riverbank. They have planted many, many different types of plants to shore up the berms and the waterfront so that there wouldn't be overflowing and that it would be ecologically sound, and it's a national park at this point, and you can walk from Nebraska to Iowa, and they have points all along the way where it says, "Hi, I'm Bob, I'm a bridge," and you have a QR code that you could press with your phone, and it'll give you information about that spot and about the history of Nebraska and Iowa. It was a really beautiful day when we went there. It lights up at night. There's blinking different colored lights. There's a paddle wheel boat that goes underneath, does cruises. And there was this really, really deep, lush grass that we were able to just lie on a hill and look up at the bridge as the sun was going down. And it was a magnificent, beautiful scene. And I was really, really moved by it. And the earth and nature and recognizing the creator of all of this and realizing that there is an amazing power in the world that created all of the world for us to be able to enjoy. And we were away from the city, we were away from sounds, we were away from busyness. We were just able to stop and capture the moment. And for me, that was breathtaking. And for her, she was able to just casually slip this into her conversation with her classmates, where they were talking about bridges that they know from the New York, New Jersey area, constantly going on bridges is full of traffic. It was a very different experience for her. And I'm very proud of her that she was able to do that.
Wow. First of all, you make me want to go see the bridge, because people that are in awe of nature, and you're talking about a blend of man-made and nature, a natural-made phenomena, that sounds really beautiful.
It was awesome. There were so many points that were awesome.
And you said something about a QR code. What's a QR code?
A QR code is sometimes you see these rectangles. They're not exactly barcodes, but they're rectangular little codes where if you have an app on your phone, you can take a picture of the code and it'll take you to a website that gives you information about something or another. So sometimes you'll see them on products. Sometimes here it was used as a way of conveying information about the bridge that they didn't print or have paper or waste on in this wonderful, rich, natural area. Again, yes, combined with the man-made bridge, but there was not waste there. It was clean. it was just magnificently beautiful to be in the earth and the sky at the same time.
Wow, the only thing I can think of that's maybe similar to this is lying on a small boat in the middle of the ocean and looking up and seeing the stars and feeling like you're this tiny little spark in this huge universe of things. And then it makes you wonder who created all that. You know, so yeah, that sounds really, really beautiful. And I love the idea that the bridge goes, "Hi, I'm Bob." That's really
cool. It has personality.
So it sounds like you hit a lot of great places, but that was one place that you're probably never going to forget because it was a very powerful memory that it gave you being there.
Exactly.
And so you're right, the fact that your kid can just turn around and as a matter of fact we say, well, you know, I went on Bob and blah, 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 and just talk about it as if it's an everyday occurrence or it's something that's ingrained in her head, I think you're going to create travelers. These kids are not going to stay in one place. They're going to want to see more, not keep them in one place.
You know, if that's the habit that they develop, I'll take it.
Right, exactly. So you took out a map in the Google and you went to a place called this bridge, which is, you said, between Nebraska and Iowa. So is this the bridge that connects Nebraska and Iowa? Is there water between them?
There's a small waterway that goes between them, and there are many bridges, there are many highways, interstates that go across the two of them. But this bridge was specifically built as a pedestrian bridge, so this is only for foot traffic.
I see. So there's no cars on it, only people going back. And so this trip, you drove, obviously, 12,000 miles. Did you have to get a special vehicle to go, or did you just take your car that you had, or did you rent? Like, how did you decide what, you know, with what to travel?
We did splurge a little bit on getting large SUVs for the travel because we were five people. We were going quite a ways. We needed some significant things to take with us. We were gone for about 90 days. And
wow.
You have three kids in the car at that age. They somehow get tired of sitting next to each other. So they needed their space. We rented SUVs, and we drove to, again, many of the states, more states, there are more stories than we would have time for in one show, but I did want to share with you and with your listeners some really moving points along the way, some things that really touched deeply, like that experience in Nebraska.
Yeah, and that bridge. That sounds like a really great experience. So let's go touch on another point that was very memorable with you. Let's see, you went to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Right?
Gatlinburg, Tennessee was a wonderful, wonderful town to be in for the 4th of July weekend. They have the first in America parade for the 4th of July, and the way they can say that they're first in America is it starts at midnight, July 4th. So all during the day, July 3rd, people around town are dropping lawn chairs at the places along the parade route, and at midnight, the parade starts, and it's about an hour and a half parade. They have other events. They have a little bit of a river there in the foothills of the Smoky Mountains. So on that day, we were actually able to go into the Smoky Mountains and drive around a little bit, walk and hike a little bit. On July 4th, there was a river where they had a competition where people made patriotic there were limitations in terms of what materials they could use, but different devices that would float down the river, and they were patriotic pieces of art, and then whichever one floated the longest or went the farthest won the competition. We were able to see bears walking around and elk walking around in live on July 4th. Celebrating their freedom, and it's really amazing because we don't really think of animals being free. We see them in the zoo. Here we were able to see them in their natural habitat and enjoying life. It was really wonderful to see. And then at night, we were went to the Ripley's Aquarium, which is a beautiful, beautiful aquarium. We've been, again, every city we went to had, it seemed, an aquarium, a science museum. They all had the best science museum, a children's museum. A lot of things were all the same. This aquarium was really pretty special, and it had a tank underneath that you could actually walk underneath water, and the fish were swimming all around you. And they had a plaza outside the aquarium that the aquarium had a neon light at night that lit up in glass. It was a beautiful man-made view. They had a huge American flag that they ran down the side of the aquarium. And first they had from a quintet, five people from one of the armed forces that was playing bluegrass music, and that was a nice concert. We were able to enjoy bluegrass music in Tennessee. And then at dark, they had all the services come together, and they played music live to go with the fireworks. So 4th of July in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, was approximately 28-hour-long celebration and party for our country, for our America, celebrating the service that people do for our country and being in nature and also being that mix of natural with the man-made.
Wow, so you stayed there for 24 hours?
We were actually there for 3 days. We came in on July 3rd. We stayed through July 4th. We slept a little bit and left on July 5th.
So what did you do on July 5th?
On July 5th, we went from there to Alabama and Mississippi, and we went down to Louisiana to continue on our journey. But it was really a very intense 3 days that we spent in Gatlinburg doing the hiking and the climbing and the mountains and the Smoky Mountains, being able to see why they're called Smoky Mountains, that even when you get up high, the clouds that you're above, they have this whisper of bluish tinge to them, and you see the smoke of the clouds and understand why they're called the Smoky Mountains, and being able to be with the small town that is Gatlinburg that has a number of very, very family-friendly attractions, and being able to be with people who are very, very patriotic and dedicated to our country and really celebrating the 4th of July in a way that I don't know that you can experience almost anywhere else in this country.
Well, you definitely cannot experience that in New York. It's not as patriotic, so that's a really great different, especially if you live in New York, to see different people celebrating. But you said something about bears walking around free. From what I understand, first of all, I never liked zoos. So I never wanted to go to a zoo because to me, it always looked like the animals were depressed. They would just sit there. They were very sad. So I never liked it. But isn't it true that bears, when they walk up around free, don't they attack people? Can't they kill you?
Apparently they can, and certainly there are. The National Park Service has a lot of information and instructions about, you know, not to approach wildlife, not to feed them, even if they're far away. You want to observe them, but not get too close, because at any moment they can charge and stomp you. So it is something to be careful about. And again, that's another experience that we were able to teach our children, because they don't really experience that. To them, animals are something that they can control and manipulate because they're kept in zoos, and they can go right up to them and tease them and do all things that children do to try to get the interest of the monkeys in the zoo. And here they were able to see the animals in their habitat and realize that we as humans don't really own or control the entire planet. We really have to share the planet with all the other living things on the world, and that includes the animals in their lives. And the you don't want to do the wrong thing because they will bite your head off.
Yeah, I think that you're right. It's one of the tremendously huge lessons that if kids can learn that when a young age, then it's something they can keep for the rest of their life. It's not a small lesson because you're right. We do have to share the planet with animals. It's not something that's ever going to change, so might as well learn how to treat them. So, yeah, I love that. So not only did they get to visit all these places, they got to learn all kinds of lessons. They got to see all these interesting things that don't exist in their backyard, and they got to celebrate different moments. So did you plan specifically to go there on July 4th? Did you know in advance that you were heading into this kind of celebration, or was it something that you were surprised when you got there?
I would say a combination of both, because we did know that there was a July 4th particular celebration there at midnight, and we were able to read about it, and we were able to learn about it and plan to be there for those 3 days. But there is a very, very big difference between reading about things and experiencing them. And the experience of it being there, it was unexpected. We knew what to expect, and yet at the same time, it was a surprise because it had a depth and a touch and a feel to it that you just don't get from reading about it anywhere else. And it was, again, an amazing experience for us as adults and for me personally to really enjoy and appreciate all the pieces, all the people that went into planning it, all the people that went into making it work. And again, recognizing that as an individual, one person couldn't make this parade, couldn't make this celebration. We all needed to be connected as a group in doing our part in order to have this huge celebration and in order to have that feeling, in order to have that experience. And it was a really deep experience. And so we had planned to go to a lot of these places, but being there was a surprise in itself. And for instance, one place, another, all across the country that we went, further across the country that we went, that we knew that we were going to be visiting, was Yellowstone National Park. When we went to Yellowstone National Park, everybody thinks of Old Faithful, and Old Faithful, people go there, they sit there, they have approximate times when the geyser will erupt, and there's a window, and they can predict based on past history when it will erupt. And there are thousands of people sitting around Old Faithful watching for Old Faithful to erupt, and as soon as it erupts, everybody cheers, and they leave, and then their new group comes for the next showing or the next eruption. But what very few people realize, we didn't realize so much, was just a few 100 meters from Old Faithful, there's a whole basin of geysers, and you could see the unbelievable mixture of liquid boiling out of the earth. There were different colors, different tinges, but I'll never forget that deep blue liquid that was bubbling up and smoking. And I would say that it was probably larger than my house, the whole area of this one basin. And there were hundreds of them all around. But this one that I had sent you an image of is about the size of my house and just constant boiling, nothing erupting as a geyser, but boiling and a mixing of the solid earth, the liquid of that was coming naturally from the earth, and the gas that was seeping off of the boiled up liquid. And it really, again, was a very moving testament that showed me how all of the elements, all of the phases of elements come together, and that there's a plan, that this is by design, this is a natural design. And many, many people miss it because they're going to Old Faithful, just a few hundred meters away, is this wonderful phenomenon of the basin of the geysers, that they're all different, and they are every minute different because they bubble at different rates, and the gases that they give off, the smoke that they give off, steam that they give off is different every moment. It's a constantly moving artwork that is breathtaking and provided by God.
Is that the blue picture that you sent me? Because if anybody wants to have an idea of what you're talking about, then they can just kind of go on the internet and click on the link to the show, which is going to be about the 12,000 miles that you drove, and then you can they can see some of the pictures. But I really think you're right. I don't think the picture does a lot of justice to the reality of what you saw, but it will give you an idea of what it is. Is it the blue picture that you sent?
So there's the light blue picture. There's a dark blue picture that is a picture from inside the aquarium we talked about, which was a also remarkable, stunning, and breathtaking dark blue water with pink jellyfish, and those were just beautiful to look at. Again, those were obviously created by the aquarium. The lighter blue picture is the picture of the gases formed and coming off the bubbling up liquid off the solid earth.
So, like you said, to everything that you see, it kind of is a testament that there's a plan, there's a puzzle that fits together that we may not be aware of, and it all fits together beautifully in a way that is really breathtaking when you see it with your own eyes and you sense it with your own eyes. So on a personal level, when you want to do something like that and you want to take a trip, there's a process. There's something that happens that you have to create by doing that. Do you have a special process or formula that you go through that you create that ability to do those things?
Yeah, one of the things I discovered about myself on this trip was that the way I do everything, and there's a title of a book by Sherry Huber called The Way You Do Anything is the Way You Do Everything. And in fact, that's
That's what I was going to say.
So the way I do everything is the same, whether it's from picking up a law case and litigating a law case to helping a patient and advocating for them in their medical needs to any other project. Like I was helping run a conference on Thursday and Friday of this week for healthcare startups, or whatever other project my next adventures are going to be, to this adventure, to picking places. Well, the process was the same. I would find something that was interesting. I would be curious about it. I would begin to investigate it with Google or other resources where I would begin to gather information. I would learn about it. I would master the information, learn the trick, learn something special and unique about it, then come up with a plan to implement exploiting it or using it or getting to know it better or litigating it, or going to be in these places and executing the plan. And I really enjoy the whole process, from the curiosity of learning, which I'm constantly learning in life, to the mastering of the material, to being able to analyze it and come up with a plan and then execute and deliver on the plan. And what I really also like to do afterwards is to sum up and explain and talk and share, not just for me, but with other people, some of the things that I've discovered along the way. So one of the things I discovered along the way for me is that's my process for approaching life, and everything I do pretty much follows that same paradigm, and it's been successful. I'm a member of 5 states bar. I've litigated hundreds of cases in court, and pretty successfully, if I say so myself. I also have been a patient advocate. I've saved people hundreds of thousands of dollars or helped them get the care they need to be in the place they need, which might have been home as opposed to a senior center or assisted living. I helped put on this conference last week, which helped launch companies that are going to be the next cutting edge in healthcare solutions. And these are some of the things I like to do. And I also was able to take my family on this trip that hopefully they will not ever, ever, ever forget from all the places that they went to. And if we have time for one or two more, there's one or two in particular that I'd like to share and talk about.
Yeah, for sure. I just want to kind of summarize something because this is really, really important. And really, in order to be successful in whatever you do, there is a certain formula that you have to follow. And a lot of people want to do a lot of things, but they don't naturally fall into this formula. And I don't know if it's something that you had to learn, it's something that you naturally do it, but it is a very important formula. So let me kind of see what I got. So basically the first thing you do is gather the information about something that you want to do, and then you master that information, and then you learn something special and unique about it, like if it's a location or a subject. And then you said something really interesting. You said that you come up with a plan of getting to know it better. So it's not just coming up with a plan on what to do. It's coming up with a plan of getting to know whatever it is that you're gathering information about. And then once you have the plan, it's about executing the plan. So it's a lot of steps. And I think the key here with what you said is that you really enjoy the process, because if it's hard and painful and not joyful, it's going to be very difficult to really follow through on all the steps. And when you enjoy mastering the material, then it's almost becomes like an addiction. You can't stop doing it because you're having so much fun. And that's why you're able to actually follow through, spend all that time, analyze it. And then, of course, after it's all finished, then talk about it and share the experience. Did I get the gist of what the process that you go through?
Exactly. You got it to a T.
So is that something that you learned how to do, or is this something that came naturally to you?
I think likely it came naturally to me, and those are the things that I do and do well, and I just didn't realize that, because so often we ask people, like, you know, what do you do? And the answer is, I'm a lawyer. And that doesn't talk to any of those things at all. But I came to realize that process by which I do everything is really what defines me and what drives me, as you said, almost like an addiction of to apply myself to any area, to any process, to any project, whether it's in law, whether it's in healthcare, whether it's in new technologies, whether it's organizing this trip, whatever it is that I'm doing the same thing. And that's really, I began to realize over time, I was repeating the same things, the same steps over and over again in different arenas in life, and satisfying that innate curiosity that I have to learn more, accomplish more, achieve more, and experience more.
Wow. So, yeah, I think that's a very important process and an important lesson for anybody that wants to really follow through and accomplish things. And so do you want to talk about another part of this country that you visited, like maybe Arizona or Utah out in the western coast?
So Utah was a beautiful, beautiful state. They say it's life elevated because it's full of national parks, and we know that recently there's some controversy about some of the national parks in Utah, but we were able to go see the rock formations that were just, again, incredible and very, very different than the rivers or the waterways that we had been at. These dry lands with huge rock formations that humans could not possibly build. And very interesting, because one of the places is called Arches, and again, one of the images I sent to you was a picture where you could see the rock formation. It forms an arch over a hole that is in the air that, again, naturally formed. Nobody could create that. It was unbelievable to just observe that and see the greenery that's kind of growing around it, but it's not a forest. It's really pretty red rock, and to see this huge, huge structure that is just breathtaking. And then when we were in Salt Lake City, there was, I think personally, this was very, very touching to me. Somebody was really, really clever when they did this, putting an art installation, and it spoke, I think, to something, the intangible reality of where we all are in life, where we're always in the middle of something. We're not at no extreme anywhere. And again, that's an image of these road signs, or what appear to be road signs, all together, and it says, you are here. And the issue there is, if you look at it closely, every sign is a combination of opposites or extremes. For instance, one of the signs says A to Z, upbeat or down, desert or ocean, zig or zag, two wrongs or right, seen or heard, odd or even, more, less, breathe in, breathe out, past, future. And together, these signs are all together, and there's a red mark on it, like you would see on the map, that says, you are here. And the truth is, in many ways, our intellectual capabilities as human beings, that is where we are. We are somewhere in the middle of everything. We are in the middle of this universe. We are in the middle of this world. We are at neither extreme. There is no beginning. There is no end. We are along this journey in between all of these extremes, and in this space where we can comprehend there's leaning towards one side or leaning towards the other, but we are all on a continuum somewhere on each one of these as we move through life. And I thought that was very, very moving and a clever art installation. And I really captured that image and hold that with me to remind me that I'm not sure of anything. Anything I'm sure of, then I can be sure that I'm not really thinking, because I'm not in good times or bad times. Every day has some combination of both, and every moment has some combination of both. And I have to really appreciate each moment and being present to the good times and bad times in each moment.
Wow. So not only did you see a beautiful sight, you also learned a very important life lesson that you carry with you, because it's a beautiful memory of a moment that is really kind of carved into your mind.
Exactly. And I captured that picture. I don't think my children at this point really can appreciate that, but I think that we put it in the album as they look back and remember their trip. Maybe they'll see it and think about it. It's not something that, again, something ethereal. You can't really capture and hold it with you. The whole idea is something that's really cerebral and not something tangible. Hopefully they'll be able to connect with that by looking at the picture and remembering, oh yeah, that was that installation in Utah in the middle of Salt Lake City. This beautiful, beautiful country, this beautiful, beautiful state, life elevated, and then life suspended in the crevice in between all of these extremes.
Right. Yeah, maybe even they might want to go redo this as adults and see from a different perspective, which would be really nice too.
That would be awesome.
Way to this night. Yeah.
Hopefully they'll take me along.
Hopefully. They'll let you come along, you mean? Yeah. Well, for now, we're going to assume that they're not going to go without you.
I have to see if they grow up what their spouses say.
Yeah, exactly. And so we do have some more time to talk about other points that you have visited. What about, did you go to Salt Lake City?
So that installation was in Salt Lake City. So we just talked about the art installation. And the Arches was in Salt Lake City. Another very interesting place. Look, we started off in New York City, and we did this driving. We did a few short flights here and there, but really for the most part we were driving up and down and back and forth. As you talked about, we went to Dealey Plaza. We went to five of the 13 presidential libraries, which was, again, an incredible thing to see for our children, for them to learn about history. We got to see a lot of places throughout the country, and we enjoyed Gatlinburg and celebrating our country. We got to see the deserts, and we got to see the Mississippi, and we got to see the rivers, and we got all across the country to the West Coast and to the Pacific Ocean and to the North Pacific Northwest, and going to Oregon, and then going to, there's a bridge between Oregon and Washington State that goes across the Columbia River, and it's the Columbia River Gorge, which is just another wonderful, beautiful place to be and to smell the pine and the trees and the leaves. It just leaves your whole body feeling different just by being there. But this bridge was rather high off the cliff and high up, and it seemed like you were driving into the sky. And they actually, on the map, it's called the Bridge of the Gods. And it really did feel like you were sort of above the world, lifting off into heaven, driving into heaven, into the gods. And we had that feeling internally because we had reached the Pacific, we had reached the Pacific Ocean, we had reached the manifest destiny across the entire country, and we had now been through and gone through most of our trip, about 87 days into the trip before we got there, and it was almost this pinnacle and zenith of being on this journey of exploration of ourselves, of each other, of learning to be with each other for that much time in such a short, in such a cramped quarter, and also to explore the country and to see all the different areas of the country and the people from Southerners to Midwesterners to Native Americans to Pacific Northwest. They were different kinds of people. They were different interests of people. They were every race, gender, and creed. And we really got a wonderful ability to enjoy the country. And at that moment we were crossing the Bridge of the Gods, it really felt like we were going almost to heaven with this, having accomplished this feat. And it was another remarkable moment. Of course, we came back down on the other side. We came back to Earth. We were in Washington State, which is another wonderful state. We went to the Seattle. We went to the Space Needle and also got to go up into the clouds and see that remarkable structure. And next to that is another amazing, and there are no images that I sent of this, but another amazing combination of the natural and the man-made, the Gardens and Museum of Dale Chihuly, who is a glass blower who makes wonderful colored glass, and there he has these installations all over the world. He had one in Jerusalem. He had one in New York recently, but he's from the Pacific Northwest. He was injured, I think, and he wears a patch over one eye, but he directs teams of people to create this unbelievable art where it's glass that's colored that is just indescribable. You have to see it in itself, and there are places where it looks like it's a tree or some sort of flower that's growing, and you can't really almost tell which is the glass and which is the flower. It's a wonderful, yeah, wonderful, amazing combination of his artistry and the natural created God garden.
Wow. Yeah, it sounds really amazing. So with all these places that you went to, and there's always more places that you might want to go to, did you happen to go to the Ronald Reagan Library in Simi Valley?
So we did not get to the Ronald Reagan Library in Simi Valley. We went to 5 of the 13, plus we went to Dealey Plaza. It was interesting to note that we actually also were in Cincinnati, and we were by Taft, but there's no presidential library for Taft because the presidential library didn't start until FDR, who made a provision in his will for creating presidential libraries, and that was followed by presidents thereafter. It'll be interesting to see what this president does with that. But we only knew that. We only learned that by going to these places. And we also realized by going to all these places that the country is so vast and there's so many things. We couldn't possibly see every single thing there is to see in the country. And so there's again, we're in that space where we're in neither extreme. We've gone across the country. We've taken the children, given them depths of experience, hopefully, that they will never forget. But hopefully they will also forget that that curiosity remains. There is always more to learn. There's always more to see. There's always more to experience. And we're grateful for every moment that we have to experience these kinds of things.
Absolutely, and I can totally relate, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But when you talk about the bridge between Washington, Oregon, and you describe it, you do such a wonderful job of describing it. You're so enthusiastic about it that you painting the bridge in living color. You make it come alive just by the way you describe it. So that says that you really tap into that experience that you went through, and the experience that you described going over that bridge reminded me of the experience that I had going over a bridge, interestingly enough, going into Oregon from California through Ashland. There's also a bridge that out of every bridges that I've been to in the entire world, I could say that this was one of the most magnificent. There's a lot of magnificent bridges, but this was one of the most magnificent view where you go over the bridge and you're literally hanging. You feel like you're hanging through a tree of the Amazon because the surrounding is so abundant with nature. You can smell the nature. You can feel it. The trees are so huge that even Yosemite doesn't come close. And I remember that experience. And when you were describing the bridge going into Washington, I felt that it was also something really, really powerful that you went through. So did you happen to go through the bridge that went to California from the other side of
We did not get to Northern California. We did go through Las Vegas and Nevada and down into the very, very bottom of California. But we did not. We have a lot left to see. And sounds like that's a really interesting item to put on our list, to be curious about, to go through the process again, to look for that bridge that went to Ashland, Oregon, from California, because it sounds like the bridge where that would leave you feeling like you were hanging in the Amazon is certainly something that sparks my curiosity, and I'm interested to go learn more about it. I'm thankful that you shared that with me. Thank you.
So absolutely, kind of one of the things that you realize when you start looking around the world, when you get out of your little corner, is that there is so much. And actually, the more you see, the more you want to see, and the more you realize that there's so much more. And you know, obviously you can do that for the rest of your life and still not see everything, but it's definitely something that you want to take a little bit of time from your life. And so I can definitely relate. We are running out of time because I took a road trip from California all the way to Panama down Pacific Coast Highway. And so that, when you describe, which was a little bit different, it was a little bit more adventurous. We went into dangerous territory. We went into territory that was in a civil war. But talking to the local people and looking at the local customs and the beautiful sights and the amazing sceneries that you have in every way you go is really not something you ever forget, no matter how old you are, no matter how you end up doing it. It's just the most amazing thing. So really, thank you for sharing it. I think going through the experience is great, and it's one thing, but actually turning around and sharing it, especially with us, I don't know who else you're sharing it with. I know you're sharing it with other people, but especially I want to thank you for sharing it with us because I think you do succeed in taking people to there where you were, and you succeed in making me want to get up and see a lot of those places, because who wouldn't want to experience the beauty and the majestic reality of what we have to offer just in this country? You don't even have to go anywhere else to experience it, which is really, really amazing. And so thank you so much for doing that. for sharing that experience.
Thank you so much for having me, Tippi. I really appreciate the opportunity.
And I'm looking forward to hearing a lot more trips from you. And it sounds like you figure out a way to also successfully master a lot of different things. And the only reason is because if you process, if you succeed in going through one thing, one process successfully, and you just apply the same principles to everything you want to do, then it just comes, like you said, the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. So the results of one thing is going to be the same result. So if you succeed in passing bar in 1,000 different states. I don't know too many people that have passed bar more than one state, because most people that I know that have passed bar, what they tell me is that they never, ever want to do that again. That
they didn't learn the trick. They didn't master it enough to know the trick. And the trick is not to read the questions. So I was able to actually do it in 20 minutes each time because I learned the trick of mastery, so that I didn't actually read the questions and passed.
Exactly. It's about doing the research, finding out the reality behind the reality of what you have to do, and finding your way how to master it. So if you mastered the first time you passed bar, and you can assume that every other state is going to probably use the same technique because it is the same bar, the same legal United States Association, and I'm pretty sure that if you even go to England or out of the country, it's going to be a similar process and a similar way to pass their test.
It might be, but in New York, in America, they have something called the multi-state bar exam, which is the really hard part of the harder part of the bar exam, I think, from most people's experience. So it is exactly the same state, the same test in all the states, and it's a question of taking. They have different questions, but it is the same technique again and again. And if you master it the first time, indeed, it can be mastered and replicated time and time again. And again, that's the point of what I do. Mastering going to one state or 10 states or 26 states or 45 states. My wife and I have gone to 48 states. We learned a technique, we applied the technique over and over again, and that's the same technique that I used in the project for putting together the conference that was there for last week and for helping with people with their healthcare issues and their healthcare situations and advocating for them, and the same process for helping companies organize, operate, and execute on plans and operations to be able to bring products to market and to advance their projects. So that's what I enjoy doing, and that's what I do for a living, that's what I do for fun, and that's what I just do in my life.
Wonderful. It sounds like you're having fun, which I think is one of the most important things. So keep on having fun. We want to see all the magic that comes out of you. I'm personally looking forward to hearing a lot of great things that you're going to do. Once again, I really like to thank you, and I like to wish you a magical journey. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Zibi.
Your heart is